Hi, this is the Robberator, and you can support my mad grab for power and the Sword and Laser podcast by going to patreon.com/swordandlaser.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sword and Laser. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Sword and Laser is a book club, but it's so much more. We bring you author interviews, news from the world of science fiction and fantasy, and awesome discussions from fans just like you.
I mean, there's no one just like you, but...
I was over-enunciating because I mispronounced my own first name in the first take.
Veronica Belmont.
Had to get it right. Got to get it right. Got to nail that one at the very least, you know?
Oh, man, I was going to play the Veronica Belmont sound effect, and my iPad decided to update its operating system.
So, Veronica Belmont.
Yeah, so I can't do that. Oh, well.
That's what it sounds like.
We need to get this done so you can finish watching the Fallout TV series, which, in my opinion, is amazing.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to finish tonight. I've got
What episode are you on?
I think I'm on like 6.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
You'll finish today.
Yeah, I've got some time. But I am super enjoying it. So it's been really, really fun. And it does, it makes me want to play the game again for sure. It makes me want to like just dive back into it, which is dangerous. I don't even know if I can play because I'm on, like I've got the NVIDIA, I think we've talked about this before, the NVIDIA GeForce Now, so I can play some video games on my MacBook Air. I don't know if Fallout is one of them.
But don't you have other platforms you could play it on?
Yeah, but I don't know if all games, like if all games work with it.
No, I'm just saying.
I can play Fallout 4. Okay,
Is it available? Do you not have any consoles?
I do have an Xbox still. I have an Xbox, but it's not set up. I haven't played in a really long time.
I see.
Yeah, but I always played on PC, so I would have to do it on my computer.
You don't have a PC?
I don't have a PC, no. That's why I'm saying I play games on
your entire
using
GeForce household
now.
Doesn't have a Windows machine at all?
No. I gave it away to my little 10-year-old friend.
It's a crime.
So you can play Minecraft better, Roblox better. Well,
that's good. That's nice. At least went to a good home.
Yeah. Yeah. So I play on my MacBook Air and I only play City Skylines. That's the only game I play. Anywho,
that M chip.
Gotta make this fast. So what are you nomming, Tom?
Cheesy stuffed pasta shells today.
Ooh.
So big pasta shells, not small ones, and then stuffed with cheese and tomato sauce.
So like almost like shells and cheese. Or
yep.
I always like wondered like what's the difference between that and manicotti?
What is manicotti? Isn't manicotti like
it's
a
just
tube?
Like rolls. Yeah. It's just like a tube instead of
so
a shell.
It's basically just manicotti in a shell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love
now in my stomach.
Maybe I'll make that this week.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I had banh mi for dinner.
Oh, did you? Where'd you get the
banh
mi?
Very good banh mi. We have a place downtown. We don't eat there a ton. They only kind of have one vegetarian thing that I like. So it's the banh mi. So I got that and it was good.
Banh mi for me.
Yeah, more for banh mi.
Excellent. No, I love a banh mi. I haven't had banh mi in a long time. That's a good idea too. Maybe I should go get a banh mi.
I feel like you have probably a lot more options for different types of banh mi in LA.
I think Los Angeles
here
has a banh mi place.
Yeah, you might luck out.
Yeah,
in that regard. At least I'm not eating oatmeal and blue cheese. That's the important part.
I get
oatmeal?
That reference.
It was blue cheese. It was blue cheese. And
oatmeal and blue cheese.
Oatmeal.
Yeah.
It was oatmeal.
That's right. I think so.
It was oatmeal.
Yeah.
Anyway, disgusting.
Yeah. Eat what you got to eat.
You do. We'll get more into that a little bit later. All right, let's jump into the quick burns.
Most of these quick burns are brought to you by Jan. Jan noted that Business Insider has an article on the success of the romantasy genre. The article is called Sarah J. Maas is the best-selling author of 2024 so far, and other romance and fantasy authors are right behind her. Side note, I think I saw a Wall Street Journal notification. I don't have Business Insider notification, so it wasn't that. But it was about the rise of that romanticy genre you've been hearing so much about. So definitely people are covering this. According to Forbes, Mass has sold 3.1 million copies of her book in 2024, making her the best-selling author of the year so far. And 9 out of the 10 best-selling books in March were either romance or fantasy novels. Or both.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty, it's like we said, it's pretty impressive. It's Rebecca Yarros and Sarah J. Maas right now at the top of the charts. Krissa Broadbent, The Serpent and the Wings of Night, and The Fall of Ruin and Wrath by Jennifer L. Armentrout. I have read Serpent and Wings of Night. It's great. I haven't yet read Jennifer Armentrout yet, but it's been very well reviewed and is also on my list of TBRs. But yeah, this juggernaut, this train is rolling on through, and it is picking up a number of new fantasy readers in its path. And to me, that's just a good thing. It's more of a good thing.
Jason Reeds suggests that perhaps it has reached critical mass.
Ooh, yeah, that's
spelled M-A-A-S.
Amazing.
I'm just going to put that in the title field.
I love that. That's really
reached
funny.
Critical mass. Because I think we have. I think in fact we have.
I don't know. I think she's gonna keep on going.
Yeah, I don't think There's we're declining from it. So you're right. It's not peak mass, just critical mass.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Jan also said from Locus Mag, the Romantic Novelist Association, the RNA, which is a thing I didn't know existed until right now, has announced shortlists for the 2024 Romantic Novel Awards, including the Romantic Fantasy Novel Awards, not the Romanticy Awards, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Yeah, and the nominees for that are Girl, Goddess, Queen by Bea Fitzgerald, One Christmas Morning by Rachel Greenlaw, Maybe Next Time by Seska Major, Ghosted by Rosie Mullender, and The Wicked in Me by Suzanne Wright.
I want Maybe Next Time to win, simply so when they go up to accept the award, they can say, this time, because they maybe next
like
time's what
ghosted,
you always say when you don't.
Ghosted, know. I already want to say, is like the best title for one of these, because you know it's going to be it's going to have ghosts in it.
And yeah.
Like ghosted, get it?
And you're going to get ghosted at the same time.
And they're going to get ghosted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jan also noted that Forbes has released, via Locus Mag, Forbes has released their list of the 30 greatest book series of all time. And among the huge number of titles of Sword and Laser interest, there is Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Expanse series. I have to say, The Expanse series, I believe, well, we read Game of Thrones, but we read The Expanse series when there was only one book out. The second book was on its way, so we didn't read it immediately after Leviathan Wakes came out, but we were on it when it was was not yet a series. So I feel proud of that.
Do you think because we covered it and encouraged it to be one of the best series?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that
no,
the
absolutely.
That's
what we should take
here,
all
right?
The credit.
Okay. Just making sure.
I mean, I'm sure that Ty and Daniel had something to do with it, but it's mostly us, right?
I want to see what else is on here. This is.
And we should also say that the only reason we even became aware of it was because we were trying to get George R. R. Martin, and Ty was still working for George R. R. Martin. You know, turns out. Really good. Really good stuff.
Oh, they missed the Southern Reach. I mean, we also had Southern Reach. We had Annihilation on the book club as well. Mistborn. We have had a Mistborn novel. What was that one called? E. Begins with an E. Chat room. Help me. Elantris. Thank you. Thank you, Tomahome.
Yeah, Jan said among the titles of Sword and Laser interests. So,
no, I have to name all of them now.
Oh, okay.
I have to name all
Fair.
Of them
yeah.
now.
No, please do.
Kingkiller Chronicle.
Keep
Did
going.
We read? Did we ring? Read that?
The Name of the Wind.
The Name of the Wind.
Yep, we did.
As a Sword and Laser pick, are you sure?
Okay. And we picked that when we read that one when it was only the one out. I think
we read the. Ryurian Revelations. We reread the first one of that with Royce and Hadrian, which was awesome by Michael J. Sullivan. We've read Witcher novels. We have not read The Belgariad. No, I said we have read Witcher novels.
And I was agreeing by saying we have. That's true.
Wait, why is, I thought this was science fiction and fantasy. Why is Crazy Rich Asians in here? Do these all just happen to be science fiction and fantasy?
No, this it's Nautilus. Right. This is, it's called, wait, no, that's not Nautilus. I'm looking at the wrong one.
Why is
30 greatest this book series of all time? You're right. Oh, it's unless not
they all
genre.
Just happen to be, they all just happen to be a they're lot just of them.
So many genres.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Hitchhiker's Guide, Foundation, His Dark Materials.
We haven't read Hitchhiker's Guide.
Wheel of Time, Discworld, Song of Ice and Fire, Outlander, 50 Shades, Hunger Games.
We haven't read that either.
Twilight, Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings, and Harry Potter. So it is like 95% genre fiction.
We should read Crazy Rich Asians. That's a series? I didn't know it was a series.
First of all, I didn't know that was a series, and now I want to read them. Huh. Second of all, is this because fiction doesn't tend to be like serialized?
Yeah, like mainstream novels, like literary novels are rarely series.
Calvi and I said that at like the same time. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's got to be what it is, but that's so interesting then. So just by the fact of them being the best series of all time, it automatically leans towards genre fiction.
Yeah. Look at that.
Fascinating.
Fascinating, Captain. Jan also wrote that Nautilus has an interesting article asking N.K. Jemisin, Andy Weir, Lois McMaster-Bujold, David Brin, Cory Doctorow, and Charlie Strauss whether science fiction is shaping our future or not. How much and where?
This is a good long read, yeah.
Yeah, I have not read this because it just came in right before we started doing the show. But that is a fascinating concept, and these are great people to talk to about it.
This is, the first kind of line is from N.K. Jemisin, and she just says, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't shape our future.
It shouldn't. And the next is Cory Doctorow, who's kind of like, yeah, this is good. I am excited to read this, actually. Because these are all brilliant people whose opinions I care a lot about. So I'm excited to see what they have to say.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you for listening to the Jan News Network.
This was JNN.
Richard says, this is not directly connected to SFF, but could be important for independent authors and publishers. Small press distribution shuts down. According to the article, SPD distribution was very small, but was the last of these small distributors and was responsible for helping start authors that won Pulitzer Prizes and other awards. Maybe online publishing will fill the void, but it is another way authors could be heard as now gone. But it is another way that authors could be heard gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything to say about that because I'm not familiar with the distributor or the situation, but interesting to note. And then Trike noted something that I know a lot of folks are excited about. Dark Matter, based on the book by Blake Crouch, is coming to Apple TV May 8th.
Yeah, I saw the ad for it. Looks pretty spooky, hey?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, have you seen the trailer for it yet?
I haven't. No, I haven't seen the trailer yet. I should watch it.
It's funny because I had a copy of Dark Matter for a really long time and I never actually read it. And then I gave it away and now I'm like, oh geez, I should have read it because the show looks really good, but also maybe too scary for me.
It's alternate timelines, is a story of a physicist who is kidnapped and sent to a parallel universe. And in that universe, his life unfolds, differently because of a different choice he made 15 years prior.
Yeah. It's very, I mean, the trailer is very spoilery in my opinion. Like I was just going to tell you like what I saw in the trailer and I don't want to spoil it that much because there's some good twists, I think.
Well, if they're put in the trailer, they must feel like it's, you know, not the twist, not the thing.
Okay. All right, fine. I will give a spoiler warning for Dark Matter.
Some people don't like to watch trailers.
All of which of it, this is in the trailer. I have not read the book, so I cannot spoil the book for you.
Mm-hmm.
He has kidnapped himself. His alternate timeline self has kidnapped him. We don't know why, but like he goes to the alternate time. He's stuck in the switch places, basically. He forces himself to switch places.
Right.
And then I think he and his wife from the alternate universe are trying to figure out how to get him back.
Okay.
I don't really know her motivation, though, because it seems like his self in the alternate universe isn't very nice. So I don't know why she wants to. Maybe she doesn't want him back. Maybe she just wants to stop him.
Or maybe she's just doing the right thing. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So.
Well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That's all I know.
Sounds good. I'm into it. Apple TV is coming with the genre.
Well, thank you to everybody, and especially Jan, of course, and Richard and Trike and all the other folks who regularly submit stories to our Quick Burns. You can do so over on goodreads.com or in our Discord thread. And now it is time for Bare Your Sword, which is our feedback from the audience.
You should read the first one.
Fine. Steven says, alas, I am a Dodgers fan, although I am a true fan of all things baseball. Yay! But enough about baseball. A couple of years ago, I did a Summer of Bujold and only did the fantasy side of her books, but not the science fiction, mostly because of the book order debate. I'm a big fan of her current novella series, Penric and Desdemona.
Wow. Okay. I mostly just wanted you to say the word Dodger fan and see if you could get through it, which you did without, vomiting too much your mouth.
I did make fart noises.
This is interesting. You're not the first person I've heard say that they have only read the fantasy from Bujold and not the science fiction. But I don't think I had ever heard someone admit that it was because of the book order debate that put them off. I would say, don't let that put you off. My goodness. Just the author themselves says, read them in any order you want. So
no, that's not good enough. No,
what do you
I'm
mean
sorry.
That's not good
it's
enough?
Not, I,
why?
That
why is that not a good
too.
If the author, the creator like, of the work says, read them in any order you want, then you're free to
matter.
Do it.
I don't know, man.
So the choice is don't read them?
I've done it before. I've not done it before.
You've denied yourself the pleasure of a series because you didn't want to figure out the order to read them in.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense.
I also prevented myself from rereading the Dresden novels because I was too stressed out about where I stopped. Like, and I couldn't remember where I stopped reading them and I didn't want to pick them up again. So I just never read them again.
That one makes more sense to me. Right. That actually makes more sense. Like you could figure it out, but it's a lot of work and you don't want to mess it up. So I get that. But like not starting a series when the author has said, do it this way. And the author is saying, do it whatever way you want. Like there is no reason for you to not start that series.
We'll see.
This is a generational thing, I could tell. Stephen, how old are you? I think that Cordelia's Honor is a great place to start because it is the earliest events of the series, and it is one that the author intended to publish first, and the first half of it is the first novel. So
well, I think that's easy, right?
You're pretty safe. Yeah.
That's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, I think so too.
If you're just reading one book.
Yeah. And it's our pick. So even more reason. Trike noted that they are currently listening to Paper and Blood by Kevin Hearn, which takes place in the same world as the Iron Druid series, but features a wizard who's from Glasgow, narrated by Luke Daniels, who is doing yet another spectacular job switching between numerous accents. That sounds wonderful.
I love Luke Daniels. Yeah. He's one of my favorite audiobook readers. He's a lot of people's favorite audiobook reader.
Can you recall what you've heard him read off the top of your head?
He did Iron Druid.
Yeah. Besides those. Anything else?
I don't know.
I know he's done
tons,
and I couldn't tell you which ones I've heard him read either.
Okay, I'll look that up while you read the next one.
Is there a next one?
No, there's probably not a next one.
Okay, you look it up while I give a hint about the May pick. I'm thinking of picking Emily Wilde, and here's why. And I haven't officially picked it yet, but I like the idea of picking the runner-up because it gives a book that made it all the way to the end a chance. This year, the vote was very close. So it's a book that a lot of you voted for. I don't like picking the runner up because I don't want to take away from the finale in the future and make it feel like, well, it doesn't matter if I vote, they're just going to pick both of them. So I don't want to promise that I'll always do that, but we have done it a couple of years in the past and I kind of want to do it again. So I wanted to test the waters on that and see if people were cool with that. The other reason that it's good is that the typical April pick, you know, on our schedule would be a sword pick and a laser one. So if I pick a sword for next month, then we're back to even, right? I mean, we'd have two lasers in a row, two swords in a row, but we're keeping the balance.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, so I will let patrons know on Patreon. I'll let people know in Discord when it's official, but I just wanted to give one last chance for people to express their opinions on that.
So Luke Daniels has done like 25 pages worth of books, so I can't go through all of these right now. But yes, primarily I would know him from Kevin Hearn. And he also did Three Body Problem, the American edition of
Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I've heard him do that. That's for sure. Nice. Yeah.
And there's a ton of other books that he's done.
Yeah.
That I'm going through right now. So anywho, very cool. All right. Let us quickly talk about Cordelia's Honor by Lois McMaster Bujold, which was, of course, our March Madness, the Madness of March winner. Are you done everything already?
Did
you finish all the things?
Oh, I am finished.
You're so fast.
I'm cheating.
How are you cheating?
I started reading it before the poll was done.
Why? How'd you know?
It was just a guess. And I was like, I'll start. And then I read it every night. Actually, it was really good. It was easy to finish because I wanted to read it. So it was a book where I ended up finding reasons to read it too.
I'm having the problem of I'm reading it as Kindle and I'm listening to my Sarah J. Maas books on Audible. And so I'm just devoting all of my free time to listening to Audible and being too tired at night to read my Kindle. I'm not saying that listening to the audiobooks are tiring me out, tuckering me out or anything. But I've just been so tired lately. I'm like 60% through Shards of Honor. So I think I'll get there. I don't have a job. I really need to focus on this.
You need this. You need something.
I'll do it. I'll make the time. Although gardening, I just filled all my flower beds and now I have to start doing my vegetable gardens. I filled all my planters. So much to do.
Yeah. Are you not enjoying the book?
Not going to dance around it, eh, Tom?
I was going to. And then I was like, no, I don't have a way to dance around it. I might as well just ask.
I am. It's not. I didn't love the tortury R-word stuff. I say R-word now because you can't say it on TikTok. And so I've got it in my head
you
now.
You just got used to it. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That I didn't love that. And I feel like there's going to be more of that in this novel. Is there more of it after that initial first scene?
Well, that's kind of spoilery, I suppose. No, I don't think there is.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk about that. It's a very pivotal scene. I'm trying not to be spoilery too, but it's a very pivotal scene in a lot of what follows, not just for her, but for other characters involved in that.
So, I didn't love that. There was a thread on Goodreads kind of about that. And, I agreed with a lot of the points. I'm just going to pop on over to that real fast. I didn't select it because we had talked about it was by Oaken, about the trigger warnings. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if we had talked about it or not, But yeah, it's going to definitely it's a motivating force, I think, for Costigan and for it's a pivotal, as you said, moment in the storyline. But yeah, the conversation. Thank you, Mantissa, about like this, the insta-lust, the love that kind of like blossoms between the two of them. Like you can kind of see it like happening when they were on the planet together. And then all of a sudden it becomes like, want to get married? And she's like, sure, why not? Sorry, I guess this is going a little spoilery.
Yeah, hopefully, it's real spoilery, actually. That's like full spoilery, actually.
Whoopsie-doo. Well, I don't know if it actually happens. All I know is that he's very like forward with it. Whatever, you all get there. It's in like the first 50% of the first novella that's already short. So anywho, apologies. Let me go to actual things that people posted here. So what's on the menu? Yeah, Jan didn't start this one. So thanks to Ruth for continuing the tradition. She says, I'm surprised nobody else has posted about the food descriptions in this book yet. While having your enemies to lovers adventure on a strange planet, what are you nomming? Well, our menu so far, as of chapter 2, because I only just got started, is oatmeal with blue cheese salad dressing. Freshly killed space venison, served well done, because this parasite survey isn't finished yet.
Right, good point.
Any fancy recreating of this delicious dinner? Anyone fancy recreating this delicious dinner?
I feel not.
I feel like they could have put the blue cheese on.
Put any blue cheese on my oatmeal yet. I also don't know where to get space venison.
I bet what you could count? Do like blue cheese. So like what is blue cheese goes well with
salad?
Like Frank's hot, like buffalo wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you would have to like.
Or potatoes, French fries. French fries and blue cheese is good.
French fries and blue cheese is good. But like how celery? Would you combine? Yeah, you could make a venison burger. Good one, licorice. You could do a venison burger.
Mm-hmm.
With the blue cheese dressing on it.
Ooh, yeah, that's not. And then you can
do like how about this? How about you do like a venison patty with blue cheese, and then and the oatmeal's kind of like a polenta underneath.
Oh, that's a great idea. I was gonna cheat. Aspect. I was gonna cheat and just make like an oatmeal bun. Have you ever seen the buns that have oatmeal, like kind of like sesame
like
seeds?
Grain, yeah. Like a grain bun.
Yeah. But that's better. Like making it even into a side dish, like a polenta. That's brilliant.
I don't know if it is better. I kind of like yours now, like making like almost like an oat cake pat, like a patty.
Like a, yeah, yeah.
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 And then using that
I still don't
bread.
Know what's going to qualify as space venison.
Just
venison. Just don't overthink it.
Okay. I guess. Yeah, no, I don't know. I gotcha. Can't help you there. I'm vegetarian. I don't know. I don't know what the closest thing would be.
Randy says, I vote for oatmeal with blue cheese salad dressing with a size of pulverized shoe leather or alligator jerky. Alligator jerky is a good space venison substitute. Yeah.
I have eaten alligator before. I didn't love it. It was a little too fishy for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I have had it before, too, and it was very fishy.
Oh, you had that as well? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember where I had it. It was not in Florida, even.
No, mine was in San Francisco, actually. There was a Southern restaurant in San Francisco that sold, like, alligator bites, and we kind of got it as a dare once.
That might be where I got it, in San Francisco. Mm. Maybe not the same place, but yeah.
Seth says, I didn't vote for him. Just wanted to point out that I enjoyed that the running joke in Shards of Honor about Beta Colony's president, who about 15 people state they didn't vote for. It's especially nice considering this book is the winner of the March vote. It's a good book, though I didn't vote for it.
I liked that. I liked that little running joke. Also a spoiler, I suppose. But yes, not my March Madness winner, said Tassie Dave.
It made me laugh too, because it was kind of a similar joke in Fallout, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
About if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Veronica, you won't spoil that, but you'll spoil the book of the month. Way to go, Belmont.
There's boundaries, okay, people?
I have my boundaries, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not enjoying it. I'm just not like drawn.
You're not being pulled into it.
I'm not being sucked into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And to get back to what we were talking about earlier, and trying not to be spoilery this time. I understand that some of the trigger warning related scenes will put people off and they won't want to keep reading. And I totally respect that. I do think that it is important to remember that character beliefs are not author beliefs, and being exposed to characters' attitudes towards things that aren't the same as what you would do is important for being able to have full character stories, even if those characters are quote unquote good characters. They can sometimes have perspectives that are different than mine, and I'm okay with that. And so I think that's important, especially to as you will continue in the story and see the effects of those events, I think you'll start to understand that there is not hand waving. It's not shallow. It has lingering effects.
Okay. Well, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a work of fiction. So it's, you can, if it was real life, you would never, like, the ends don't justify the means, you know, like that kind of thing. But it's good to see that there is some meaning behind it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Reason for being.
I never looked at a character and I don't think Lois McMaster Bujold is trying to say the ends justify the means.
Got it. Good. All right. That kind of wraps it up. That was fast. Any last comments from the chat room?
Not as much news kicking around. Thanks to Jan again for helping us out with that. And we'll wrap up Cordelia's Honor and be full on spoilery next time. So we'll probably have more to say then, especially because Veronica will be finished, right, Veronica?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Let me know. And I'm assuming that everybody knows the name, but let me make sure that I get the full name of Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies, a novel by Heather Fawcett. If you have thoughts on picking that, even though it was the runner up in the tournament, let us know.
We've done multiple picks from March Madness before.
We have. Like I said, that's one of my concerns, is I don't want it to become a situation where people don't vote in the finals because they're like, well, they're just going to pick both anyway.
Well, it's less about that and more about, oh, wow, so many people wanted to read these books and they're good books, and we'd probably read them eventually anyway.
Right. That's a good point.
We got like people excited about them. So in a way I get it. You know, I see both perspectives there. And you know, honestly, nobody's ever complained about us reading.
Yeah.
I think this is all in our head a little bit.
This would be the third time we've done it. Mm-hmm. Where we read both. And once you do things three times, human brains start to think it always happens.
Right. And we didn't vote for any of these books, so
I didn't,
we can choose
whatever
we want with impunity.
That's
because
right.
Because we're dictators.
That's so. Right. Enlightened.
So suck it! Suck it, Zelda! Okay, sorry.
Wow.
Got inappropriate there for a second. Apologies.
I've
got to
put a trigger warning on this now.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Got to put the explicit tag on there. I don't even know how to do that anymore.
Wow.
Okay. That's it.
It's your line to end the show. I can't end it for you.
Our show is currently entirely funded by you, our patrons. If you as a patron don't like hearing me say, suck it, you can take your money away from us, and that would be within your right. If you want to help support me saying, suck it, then you can head over to patreon.com/swordandlaser.
You can also support the show by buying books through our links. Find links to the books we talk about and some of our favorites at swordandlaser.com/picks.
Email us feedback@swordandlaser.com. We
Use
are on
the
Instagram.
Subject line, suck it.
Suck it. Instagram, X, and Mastodon @swordandlaser. And all of our discussions happen over on goodreads.com or on Discord. We will see you next time.
Suck it.
Suck it.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.